experience, strength, and hope until 6:20 p.m. on what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. The speaker wishes to stop early before 6:20 p.m. He may do so, and we will open the meeting for questions. As a reminder, please be aware that if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the Light a Candle podcast. Okay. Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find where you will find links to prior podcasts from this meeting available in multiple formats. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Brian S.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I'm a compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. Happy birthday. Thanks for asking. That sounded weird. Happy birthday. Thanks for asking. Sorry. I really am glad to be back in person meeting here. I used to laugh a lot when I was a kid, a lot. And then when food sort of took over, I stopped laughing. I stopped smiling. There was times where I even forgot how to laugh without it being forced. You know, I was forcing it a lot, and I was exhausted. I'm really glad to be in a place with people that get it, because I thought I needed to be fixed. I thought that there was something wrong with me. There probably is something wrong with me, but but not what I thought was wrong with me. I thought that I didn't belong here, and now I found out in OA and other programs too that's not the thing. It's just that I'm powerless over some of the things that help me survive, but were also slowly killing me. Anyways, so what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, and I'm going to spend just a few minutes on the first two and then the majority of my time on the last bit, what it's like now. I'm really glad that I have a sponsor that I like. I picked him because he had a great beard, and he was at the Jocelyn Park meeting, and I was like, this is, it's a good-looking beard. And he ended up being a great guy, and I've learned a lot from him. And it's so nice to have people that I can bring my questions to, like, how do I do this? Like, sharing. I thought that in the shares, I know there's no shoulds, and I'm so glad that I cannot be kicked out of OA, because if it was possible to be kicked out of OA, I would not be in OA. But I thought that I should spend the majority of my time on what it was like, and then a fair amount of time on what happened, and a little bit of time about what it was like now, and it's really nice to hear my sponsors say, like, well, maybe that could be flipped. So I will say a little bit about what it was like, because I definitely qualify for this program, and I know I definitely belong here. Food is my best friend. Every night, I would wait for everybody to go to sleep and make myself, whether it was a concoction of, and I'm glad, thank you for the clarification that I'm allowed to mention foods here. And I'm not going to curse. When I started in OA, I cursed a lot. And I use curse words alcoholically, too, I think, to sort of, you know, because I'm nervous and I smile. I'm one of these people who, when I'm not always happy, but I smile a lot. And so people probably think that I'm, like, bubbly, but no, I'm nervous. It's just that I go like this when I'm nervous. And so I cursed a lot. And it's really nice that I've gotten to grow up over the past 5 years. And this March, I'll have 6 years. And things have been a little wonky recently that I guess has happened in previous years, so it's nice to be here. So I'm not going to curse. So back to what it was like. Yeah, every night I would eat, I would make these concoctions of eggs and just... and it worked. I've shared about this before, but I used to watch movies, and if there was a food item in the movie that looked delicious, and most of them do because it's a movie, everything looks good in movies, I would then want to make it. And there was one in particular that I remember I was fixated on. It was a movie with called Dave with Kevin Kline in the 90s, where he's a doppelganger for the president. And there's a scene where he's making this elaborate sandwich for his Secret Service agent, who's played by Ving Rhames, I think. And it was just this beautiful thing, and I remember there was carrot shavings, and so I had my mom go to Ralph's and get the ingredients, and I made it. And I remember there was this moment, like, when the sandwich was made, and I was just about to take that first bite, and maybe I did take that first bite, and it was just like, everything's fine. everything's going to be okay. The cool kids club that I was sort of on the periphery of, like, everything's going to be fine there. I'm never going to get kicked out of the cool kids club. You know, I'm going to get great grades. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's fine. So I have these moments of it's fine when I'm eating. But then it goes away and is replaced maybe the next morning or later on because I would eat so much I would pass out. And I've stolen food. I've eaten food out of the garbage. So just so much shame around it. I would, came from a family, like a Jewish family, and there's a lot of food in the kitchen. And so it just felt so normal. It never seemed like there was anything wrong. Wheat thins. it would help. And that was the only thing I would go to over and over and over again. So like a needle in the groove of a record, that was my go-to. I loved buying food for people. I loved giving people food. I know food was the way that I would interact with people. So food was everything. And things started to get hard in my mid-late 20s, spending so much money on food. And, running out of money because of all the food that I'm buying. And then I hit a series of bottoms. I ended up moving back in with my family, having two or three dinners a night, laying in bed. I had three master's degrees, and I couldn't figure out how to take care of myself. And that was a big thing, too, because I had food my whole life, and through food I was taking care of my emotions. Through food I was taking care of intrusive thoughts, like what happens if my mom or dad die? What happens if my brother gets hurt? All these what ifs. And so food was the main way that I took care of myself. But so I never got to learn all the other ways to take care of myself, like buying myself new clothes. I didn't have that experience because if I'm worried about how I look, I can just eat more. So it was through OA that I learned a lot of self-respect, self-regard. It's been really hard. And so my binge buddy, who we used to binge together, he told me that there was a program called Overeaters Anonymous, and I went, and the first one I went to was in a church basement, and it was okay, but there was only three people, and we were in different age ranges, but I took to heart what I heard, which is keep coming back. And I went to the Joslyn Park meeting in Santa Monica with all those cute doggies outside in the park and Purple Linda. And it's just so nice to be in a space with complete strangers who I felt like I have a connection with, and I still do. Even in this room, I only know a few people, and I have a hard time remembering names sometimes, so I usually don't want to go over and say hi to people because, you know, that dance. But it does feel like a family reunion, like cousins and some like siblings. In fact, one time with someone at the Joslyn Park meeting, I was the phone list person. And so I was so needy my whole life. I've always felt really needy. Like, there's a program for that too. I'm not in it. And I got the phone list. I got the phone list, and I thought, like, oh, you know what would be great is if I put stickers on the outside of the phone list so that when people want it, like newcomers or other people, they'll have little stickers. I'll go to Michael's and I'll get little gold stars. And I went, it may have been Purple Linda. And I said, what do you think about this idea? And I remember whoever it was, they looked at me and they goes, outside issue. And I didn't understand. It's enough. Like, Brian, it's enough. The phone list enough. Maybe you're enough. I've definitely learned in OA that I'm enough. And it's been really nice. All the hugs, all the tears, all the laughter. I've been able to laugh my way through the past almost 6 years. About 2 months ago, I called my sponsor, and I said, I think I need to start my abstinence date over again. I think it'll be helpful. It'll give me a new shot in the arm. I'll be like the new Brian. And I'm really glad he talked me out of that, because I do have a tendency to self-sabotage. So what has it been like since I've joined, and how has it been now? Things are great. I really love my life, and I never thought I would. Things have been really hard, and I love my life. I didn't think I was going to make it this far. I thought that I used to smoke cigarettes a lot, and I thought, like, okay, I'll die at, you know, 30-something, and I'll be fine. I used to have a lot of fantasies about dying, and I used to think about what food are they going to have at my funeral, and I just want, you know, El Coyote, and I want chips and salsa. by the way, speaking of chips, I have red light food, so I can't eat any. I don't eat any more tortilla chips. I've eaten my lifetime supply of tortilla chips. I used to go to El Cholo over on Wilshire, and I used to go if I was going to meet somebody for work or for friends, and we were going to meet at 6. I would get there at 5, and I would sit at the bar, and I would. They just keep giving you baskets. They just keep bringing baskets, and so I would have like 3 baskets on my own, and then when my friends would show up. They would say, oh, do you want a basket? I said, oh, basket? Oh, my God, yeah. Is it my first? No, it's my fourth. So, and it was really nice to be in this meeting. I remember there were some men sitting over there, and I remember one of them said that there were some foods that they couldn't eat like a man anymore. They couldn't eat in a gentlemanly way, and that really helped me. I like that expression. So I can't eat tortilla chips like a grown-up, and I do want to be a grown-up. So I don't eat tortilla chips. That's my red light food. I do have a higher power. I have a few. The first one that I started with was Future Brian, which at first a fellow told me that I made myself my higher power. So I checked it out with my sponsor, and my sponsor was a little confused, and he said, let me check with my sponsor, and he called his sponsor. So it was really cool to see him model in this program that we don't have to know it all, and I know, and I am a know-it-all. So it's really nice to see people again modeling to say, I don't know. I sort of always thought it was either yes or no. There's only two answers to anything. But so my sponsor said, I don't know. Let me check it out. So I have that as a higher power that works for me because Future Brian down the road, he always wants me to be okay, and I've never really gotten the wrong message. From Future Brian, I don't always listen, but it always feels right. I also have the ocean as a higher power, the fellowship as a higher power, the connection, you know, sort of just kind of like that big thing. And again, when I started out, I heard people talk about that they had a higher power that they didn't understand, and I thought, you're doing this wrong. You should really get a higher power you can name. I'm very judgmental. OA has really helped me with my anger, too, and I run pretty anxious, and so I have a hard time with anger, and I have a lot of anger. So it's been nice to be able to express that in different times, and usually underneath my anger is a lot of sadness. And I've been able to cry a lot more than I used to, which is good. So I have a higher power that works for me. I have fellows that I love calling, and at first, I didn't like making outreach calls. I had a hard time taking up space. If calling people for the first year, I think I would call people and, how are you doing? Like, what's going on with you? Like, do you have any problems that I can help you with? Maybe I should be in that other program, actually. But because I do have a hard time being honest and being vulnerable. And then I got to a place, I don't know, after the first year, when I leave a voice message, I'm used to leaving sort of superficial, not trite, but, you know, oh, hope you're doing well. Oh, wasn't that rain? Interesting. Hope you're having a good Saturday. Can you call back if you can? Like all that fake Brian voice, you know, maybe some of you have heard it. It's not an LA thing. It's just a, you know, kind of like a... We're doing fine. Blah, blah, blah. I couldn't even be, not even the words. Blah, 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 blah. And now, when I leave a voice message, I actually say what's on my mind. I say what I was calling to say, and I don't do it in such a performative way, I guess. And it's really nice. At the beginning of the program, I had this guy that we would call each other because he had a hard time with his anger. I had a hard time with my anger. And we would call, and we would leave angry voicemails on each other's voicemail. And he was this—he was a big guy, but he was so gentle. And so we agreed as like an accountability thing. And he would leave messages, and he'd say, "Well, hi, Brian. You know, I'm going to do it now. Here it goes. 3, 2, 1. You." And then I'm not going to curse, but he would just this, and it would just come out for like 30 seconds. And then at the end, he would say, "He said, okay, talk to you tomorrow." So great. And I would do it too, and whether it was about my mom, or whether it was about somebody I was seeing, or an ex. I had an ex that said that if I just lost 10 pounds, I would be, you know, whatever word she used, sexier. So, you know, it's, so having this anger, and I've been trying to think my way out of things, and it doesn't work. So being able to release, I think I heard that earlier. It's nice to be able to release things. Something that I'm struggling with is Zoom meetings. I really miss being together in person. And I've been in a, I don't know if it's lazy, but at the beginning I worked this program really hard. I was diligent. I was making a lot of outreach calls, going to meetings. So things have been hard since COVID. My life has gotten much bigger. And something else I heard from my sponsor and other people that, you know, they say like the things you put before program, you're going to lose. So that has happened. Luckily, I haven't lost things, but it's gotten close. But I think that I would like to start going to more meetings in person. I miss people. I miss holding hands, even though my palms get sweaty, and then I'm always nervous about holding hands at the end. I've never heard this kind of honesty before, the kind of vulnerability and honesty, and it just feels good, and I like that I don't have to come here and I don't have to talk, except this, I have to talk. But it's just nice to be in the presence of other people, being real, and sometimes being really angry, really sad, really afraid. Those are the three emotions that I struggle with the most, anger and fear and sadness. And being around other people who are trying to, as best they can, moment to moment, feel their feelings, it helps me. Because emotions are contagious in that way. I know that's, I've just learned a lot. And I've finally gotten in OA and some other programs, money program, some people programs. I've been able to grow up over the past 6 years. When I was young, I was a younger brother, and you know, I always wanted to be a grown up. I always wanted to be older than I was or more mature than I was. My parents used to take me and my brother out to a sushi restaurant over on Beverly by the Beverly Center near La Cienega. And I would want to sit at 10. I would want to sit alone at the sushi bar while my mom and dad, only in LA, right? And so my mom and dad and my brother would be sitting at a table, and I just would throw like a fit until they let me sit at the sushi bar alone. And I would sit there, and I would just be like a 10-year-old, I would be sitting like this, like, and I would be trying to like make eye contact with other people at the sushi bar. Like, I wanted them to see that I was a grown-up, that I'm sitting at a sushi bar alone. And I had credit cards, my dad's credit card, I'd be paying, I'd be writing the tip. I would just, whatever the total was, I would just put that as the tip. So I would just, if it was 30, I would just do 30 tip. And I was like, I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown-up. And of course, people would look, but they would say, like, do we need to call CPS? Like, is this little boy? Okay. So this kind of, like, fake, what I thought was performing, being, I don't know, a grown-up. So my point is, over the past 6 years, I have been able to grow up slowly. I'm really starting to get that slow-briety thing. I feel like I'm finally ready to be in a relationship again, because in previous relationships it's been hard. And so it's nice to be in a place where I feel like I'm okay enough to be in a relationship. And it's been hard for me being in relationships where, you know, tell me I'm okay. Make me feel like I'm okay. And I feel like I'm okay. And sometimes I'm not okay, but I'm okay with not being okay. This is getting a little Donald Rumsfeldy, but you know what I mean. But I would like to be with somebody that is not trying to. I have been in relationships where if I could just be a little bit different or a little bit. Be different. But I want to decide in what ways I want to be different. Yeah. So I think I just wanted to say one or two more things and then happy to answer questions. When I was a kid, I was really worried about death. I was worried about family members dying. I didn't really worry so much about me dying, but I did get scared about other people dying. And I don't really have that fear as much anymore. I just heard that a fellow died recently, and I'm glad. I never considered how fellowships could respond to someone's passing, and I'm glad that in OA, and I hope in other fellowships too, but here it feels like it's okay to talk about people who have died and express our love. For me, this has been a love program. There's been so much love, the kind of safe love, not transactional, not conditional. I was just sharing with a fellow that there was a guy who used to sit over there, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And after my first sponsor moved away, and he said, yeah, sure. And I never called him. I never called him once. So after 2 months or maybe 3 months, he called me. And he said, hey, you know, maybe you want to think about having a sponsor that you call. And also that it's like you want to call. And don't worry, we're still going to be fellows, we're still going to be brothers. It was just nice because I knew it wasn't a good fit, but I didn't want to call him because I didn't want to break up. You know, it's that breakup thing. And the way he did it, it wasn't a breakup. It was like, actually, we got even closer. Something I've learned in OA, that even if relationships change and roles change, it's not bad, it's not the catastrophe. My deep, dark fear is probably like I'll be alone and I'll be abandoned and unlovable and sort of chucked out. And how he handled that and how so many other people have handled themselves, I've learned that this black and white thinking that I've had to help me try to get through my life in the scary times, you know, it's either starving myself or having, you know, 3 carne asada burritos. Or it's, you know, I dabbled in laxative bulimia and, you know, doing that and either, you know, just maybe that'll be it. And I'm so glad that I'm not giving a perfect share tonight. I've never given a perfect share, but I'm so glad that previously I've spoken a few times, maybe half a dozen times in 6 years, and I used to get really nervous, and I'm still nervous, but I used to be nervous, like I wanted to do a good job, I didn't want to mess up, and trying not to mess up, which is a Brian thing, that trying not to mess up. And I don't feel that way anymore. Now I'm just trying to do a good job. It feels very different than trying not to mess up. Trying to do a good job versus trying not to mess up. Which I think is true in a lot of places of my life. So I'm really grateful for OA. I'm so grateful for these friendships. I'm really glad I'm still connected. And in the next few weeks, as I get closer, it's March 4th is my absence date. And so I want to just double down and keep on it. And I want to get out too. And so that's it. So thank you. All right, questions. Oh, questions. Yeah.
What was the experience that led you to ask your sponsor about resetting your date, and what was the wisdom that you received?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was... Oh, yeah, thank you. So what was the event or the circumstance? What happened that led me to ask him about restarting my absence? Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was isolating a lot. I was not going to meetings. So I was doing a lot of, like, mental gymnastics, like, and then I still have, there's, like, the whip and the feather, right? And I was like, okay, maybe if I just whip myself... I don't want to really hurt myself, but oh, I know. And so it was kind of like that, oh, I'll restart my absence. I will, it's like that January 1st, like, okay, here we go. Here we go. If I restart my absence, you know, my hair is probably going to start growing back in. It's just like, this is it. This is going to happen. I was also edibles. During COVID, edibles really, and I still struggle with it. And and so that was also something that was bothering me. It's something that I had a hard time because I didn't want to tell my sponsor. And I did tell him eventually. And he's like, he was great. I knew he would be. But I had this fear that he would break up with me and he would say, you are a bad little boy. You are a bad little boy. You should not. And so when I finally told him, he goes, I don't care. He did say, and I asked him for it. I said, do you have any experience, strength, and hope with this kind of stuff? And he did say that, you know, when I have something every night, it loses its specialness. So if I had cake every night, it wouldn't be special. And that was helpful. Because what I was really asking for is just, I wanted to get some help. So anyways, back to your question. So I had that piece going on. I was going through some life transitions. Money had been tight. I was working 5 jobs. So there was probably like some external stuff. I think I was in between therapists. So there was some of that going on. It was just a lot of like, I got it. And that became like, oh, I got it. I'll restart my abstinence. And then I'll count my days, and then I'll have a 30 for 30, and then maybe I'll extend it to a 90 for 90, and I'll get these new chips. And I had this, like, fantasy. And in the fantasy, it was people were going to be clapping for me. I mean, it was probably a lot of that. But I'm really glad I shared it with him. And he didn't tell me not to, but it was really nice to have a conversation with him to say, like, wait, why? And I'm used to people not saying, like, why? I'm used to people saying, like, why? And it's nice to be with someone like him who's gentle and caring. It didn't feel like this. It was more like a that. And I could say what I needed to hear during that call. So, yeah, I hope that's helpful. Thanks. Good. Yeah.
Thank you so much. If you had any advice for newcomers, what would it be?
If I had any advice, thank you, for newcomers, what would it be? Well, for me, I smile and I laugh a lot, even though I'm not always happy. But I like to be around people who are smiling and laughing, even if they're not happy too. So I think my advice would be look out for people who you have some connection with. Like for me... for me, I was really intimidated by men in OA. So I sort of stayed away from men. And again, I'm really glad that OA is a program where, like, that was okay. I didn't have to have a male sponsor. So my advice there would be follow your intuition and your discernment, acknowledging that overeating has a way of numbing out my intuition and my discernment. But being in a meeting with our tribe is easier for me to hear my intuition when I'm in meetings. So listen to your intuition, and if you're sitting somewhere and you want to change seats, change seats. If you see somebody that you're like, oh, wow, that person is kind of like maybe a kindred spirit, introduce yourself, maybe get their phone number. If you see somebody that you hope or are considering that maybe they would be your sponsor, temporary or full-time, and the reason is something like you like their facial hair, like I did. Like, yeah, like, okay, like, maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but you'll learn a lot about yourself. So, and one other thing I'll say is that this is a space for being serious and silly, for laughter, crying, everything in between. And get one or two people that you can call, you can make outreach calls with that it doesn't feel like heavy lifting. Like one or two people, I've got one or two people, it's so easy to call them. So that would be something else that I would share. So thank you. Okay, yes.
How do you feel, like you mentioned when you would go to meet a friend for dinner, but that you would like, go at 5 and eat the whole bag, and then be like, oh, hi, just got here. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to say lying.
No, lying.
But, yeah.
I'll say it, lying.
Part of the, you know,
yes.
How have you seen that lifted in your sobriety?
Yeah, no, thank you. So how has my relationship to lying changed and dishonesty, for example, going somewhere and saying, oh, my gosh, what are, or like that, and thank you for that question. Food has been my best friend since I was very, very young, and lying and deception. Like, I've been I lie a lot. And I won't get into details here, not because it's a secret, but I want to be mindful of not using names and organization names. But I was such a compulsive liar that I found a job where I could lie for a living. I was a spy. And so lying has been a big part of my life. And the feeling that I get after I lie, or I lie a lot, is like the feeling I have after a binge the next morning. I feel yucky. I feel gross. And sometimes I would then like double down on the lie in the same way that I have sort of double down on binges before. You know, okay, I won't have that. And then I'll have it that same night. So it's helped me with the steps, to go through the steps, step 4 and 5. All the steps have been helpful. I think I've gotten a lot also about being a sponsor and being with other people who've been able to talk about their relationship to honesty and dishonesty. Maybe what I'm talking about here is hiding, because I want to be seen. I want to be seen, and if you look at me, I want to be smiling, and I want to be presentable, but I also don't want to be seen at the same time. So I find ways to hide in plain sight, and so the lying and manipulation and people-pleasing, so it's still a struggle. It's still a big struggle. It is. Sometimes I still find myself in situations where I fall back into lying. Oh, it's just a little lie. And people fall for it. And then there are these moments where in my mind I'm like, you fell for this lie? You didn't know I'm lying to you? And I just feel farther and farther away from people. It's something else that my disease is. I know it wants to get me alone, and it wants to get us all alone. You idiot, don't you know that I've been here for an hour eating all of this? And so there's this weird dance of lying, seeing if I'll get caught. I usually don't. If I do, I'll apologize in this really grand way. I have all these dances that I do, but really I'm just scared to be seen. It's probably the thing that's kept me out of relationships too, because when I've been in relationships, romantic or friendships too, lying and stealing and, yeah, I just haven't felt comfortable being around people. So it's really nice to be in a program like this where I'm allowed to be uncomfortable. It's encouraged to share and be vulnerable. I've never had the experience of being in a meeting and like raising my hand after a share and talking about like identifying and then just start talking and not knowing what I'm going to say. Usually I only talk before I know, and I need to know what I'm going to say before I say it. And here I can just start sharing And I don't really remember most of what I said today, but it's nice because it was all honest. Yeah, it was all honest. So thank you for, I really appreciate that question because that's something that I want to remember. It was about lying and I am enough. Yeah, so thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious if the, as a newcomer, I kind of just feel like I'm like a raw nerve community here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And the question is, and I really like how you said that, the raw nerve. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a raw nerve, right now. And I really am glad that it, no, really. And again, even though I'm aware of this because I can't see the sweat on the fits. But I really like OA because it's nice that someone here can say how I'm feeling so I don't have to say it. So this, what you just said about the raw nerve, kind of making the covert overt in a space like this so that I can have these me too, that I can have these me too moments. So number one, me too. And secondly is, I think I want to just say again about finding one or two people. I think about fellows. I think about people. Sometimes I think about people that I don't really have a relations, we don't talk a lot, but I think of them. And I think of them. People in this meeting here, there's a few people that I think of. I also want to say that it was mentioned before about the podcast, and I listen to the podcast. I listen to them in the car. I listen to them at home. And I really, something I'm struggling with in my life is doing one thing at a time. I usually do more than one thing at a time. And so when I try to listen to these podcasts and these shares, I try to, as best I can, just listen to it and let myself cry. And taking up space, picking up the phone. And sometimes I can't pick up the phone or I think it's too late. And I said, it's 9:30. I can't call. I can't. That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. And then so sometimes I'll text instead. And I'm really glad that I'm in a place where just texting or even just raising my hand to share at a meeting, that's enough and that I'm enough and that we're enough. So, yeah, thanks for your question. Yeah. And thank you all.
It is now time for our seven tradition. While we have no dues or fees, we do have expenses for this meeting, and each group ought to be fully self-supporting through its own contributions. A suggested donation of $3 or more is the group conscience of this meeting. On the final Saturday of the month, we pass the second Support Your Intergroup basket. While our treasurer passes the baskets, I've asked Mary Pat to read the 12 traditions.
Yay. Hi, Mary Pat, a compulsive overeater.
Yeah.
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
I would like to thank all the people who do service at this meeting. Secretaries are Michelle and myself, program chairs are Lisa and Seppi, treasurers Jesse, literature Cynthia,